Last week it was urgent to begin learning about how regular people like ourselves could be mekayim the mitzvah, could try to think, at least to have the right frame of mind for being mekayim one of the 613 mitzvahs that might have been crossed out of our little sefer ha-mitzvahs, that it's one of those that's just not within our reach, which is not true chas v'shalom, and that's the mitzvah of ahavas Hashem, of loving the Ribono Shel Olam. And we were learning last week how the tachlis is that we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think of Hashem as being a friend, which is something very foreign to us. And we spoke a lot about that, and we're going to continue on the bottom of the page. In your edition, it's, I think, on the top of page Mem Ches. It's Ois Dalet. L'shnei she'ha'odam maschil l'nasois la'avoid b'chdei lahagish es ahavos l'bari v'es ahavos l'bari e'lov. Like everything else in Yiddishkeit, in order to truly experience anything, it is necessary for a person to be an oyved, to work on it. It doesn't happen by itself. So in order to feel, in order to be able to feel love for Hashem Yisbarach, and to be able to feel Hashem's love for us, so Reish is called Tzarech Shiyamdu L'neged Einav Divrei HaGemara B'Shabbos Lamed Aleph. Everybody has to remember the Gemara in Shabbos. Now this is a Gemara that everybody learned, not inside the Gemara, but everybody knows this famous Gemara. Because you know the story of when the person wanted to convert and he came to Shammai, and he was driven away by Shammai, and then he went to Hillel HaZaken, and he wanted to know what the Torah was, what it means to be a Jew, al regel achas, while standing on one foot. It's obviously a very, very deep Gemara. We're not talking here, the Gemara doesn't record every conversation, or any ideas that some Meshuggah came up with, that you have to tell me about Yiddishkeit on one foot. It obviously means something much more than that. As far as our regel achas means that I want a way of serving Hashem Yisbarach, that I'll, to be a Jew, that I will never fail, I'll never fall, it'll be our regel achas, will be strong. But everybody knows what Hillel's response was. Hillel's answer to that was, that which you hate for yourself, right? That which you despise for yourself, don't do to another Jew. What you don't like, what you hate for yourself, that's the entire Torah. That's the entire Torah, to love another Jew. And the rest of the Torah is a commentary on that one yisayt of what? Of yahav v'racha kamaycha. What you don't want being done to you, don't do to anybody else. And the rest, Hillel HaZaken told him, that's it. That's pretty much, that's the basic Yiddishkeit. And the rest, zil gemar, go learn. So everybody asks about that. How could that be? What does that mean? That's the whole, that's called tarakula? What you don't want being done to yourself, don't do to anybody else. And yahav v'racha kamaycha is called tarakula. It's the whole Yiddishkeit. Is what kind of a watered down different religion is that, the one that we know? And what does tefillin and what does kashrus and what does Shabbos have to do with loving another person? So Pirush Rashi. So first of all, miyu chavach. Who's this talking about? What does it mean? What you hate being done to you, don't do to your friend. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Hillel HaZaken told that person, that convert. So Rashi explains, what does this really mean on a deeper level? Everybody knows the story in the Gemara. Most people don't know what Rashi says. Who is the friend? What you don't want being done to yourself, don't do to your friend. Pirush Rashi. Rashi says there on the Gemara, Da'aloch sni l'chavr chalei savid re'acha v'rei avicha al ta'azayv. We learned that pasuk last week. Re'acha v'reya avicha. Remember, who is called your friend and the friend of your father? Hashem Yisbarach. So Rashi says an astonishing thing. When this guy who was thinking about converting came to Hillel HaZaken and asked him, "Tell me the whole Yiddishkeit on one foot." So Hillel HaZaken told him that something that you don't want for yourself, you shouldn't want for your friend. That's the whole Torah, and the rest is a commentary. Loving your friend is the essence of Yiddishkeit. So Rashi obviously was bothered by this as well. What does that mean, that loving another Jew is the entire Yiddishkeit? We understand that that's the aside of all the mitzvahs, what? Ben Adam, L'chaveiro. All the mitzvahs between one Jew and another are based upon loving another Jew. That's true. But what does that have to do with all the other mitzvahs? With all the mitzvahs of serving Hashem as Baruch, that are not ben Adam L'chaveiro. Not between you and a friend. So there are many explanations. But Rashi says, Rashi obviously was troubled by this. So Rashi says, and it must be that Rashi received this, that who is the friend that Hillel HaZaken was talking about? He was talking about that friend that we were learning about last week, the friend that goes with you ever in life, a friend who will never desert you, never turns his back on you. Re'achav re'a avicha means Hashem is Baruch. Hashem is the friend. Zakadosh Baruch. Rashi brings the pasuk in Mishnah that we learned last week, that Hashem is called the friend of each person. So what Hillel was saying was this: you want to know what Yiddishkeit is? Think of the Rebbeinu Shlomo as your friend. And whatever you want for yourself and how you think of yourself, at least it should be in your relationship for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. You should have the same care, the same love, the same concern and interest for your friend. And your friend is the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which covers all 613 mitzvahs and everything else in Yiddishkeit. If you understand that the friend that you have to always have on your mind is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, according to the Ari HaKadosh, every day before you start davening, you're supposed to say a sentence. Do you know this? Some of you might say this. It's in the Nusach Ari Sidur, but really, the Ari HaKadosh said that all of us should say before we start davening in the morning, before Matayvah, or however you begin, the first thing a Jew says before davening is Hareini Mekabel Alai. I accept upon myself. You can say it in English and Hebrew. I accept upon myself Hareini Mekabel Alai Mitzvahs Asay, the positive commandment of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoich. I accept upon myself the mitzvah to love every Jew. And then the Baruch Shalom says, now you can talk to me. You love other Jews, then talk to me. But the Ari HaKadosh says that's how you have to begin every day with davening. He's saying, that I accept upon myself to love every Jew. We have a deeper understanding about that now. Of course it means that love that you're able to feel for another Jew opens your heart up to loving Hashem as Baruch. If you're incapable of loving a friend, if you're incapable of loving another Jew, then you can't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. All this time talk about that. You're far away from the whole emotion of love. There are human beings that are right next to you, you're incapable of loving, you can't love their Baruch Hu. So on a basic level, we understand that before we daven, we accept upon ourselves that way of thinking, that way of living and feeling of Yahavta Re'acha Kamoich. But on a deeper level, we're learning it means the Rebbeinu Shlom. On a deeper level, Rashi is telling us that Yahavta Re'acha Kamoich is speaking about Hashem. Re'acha V'Re'ya Avicha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoid v'atzma hu re'acha v're'ya avicha. That before you begin davening, on a certain level you're saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, I want to be friends with you. I want to have a kesher with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And that's v'ahavta re'acha kamaicha. Why don't we say then, according to that, why don't we start off davening by saying, Hayim mekabel elai mitzvah seishu v'ahavta es Hashem elokecha? No. So why don't we start by saying the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem, you should love Hashem. The Teretz is because the Ari HaKadosh and the Tzaddikim want us to realize this, that the Baruch Shalom is our friend. And that is expressed in the Pasuk, V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamaicha, to love the Baruch Shalom as a friend, as a Yedid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvayt V'atzmai Hu Re'acha V'Re'ya Avicha. It's a Noir and Noiris, the Tzaddik says. This is an amazing thing. HaGemara Meres Lanu, this Gemara is teaching us, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Chavercha, that the Baruch Shalom is your friend. Hu Re'ach Re'avicha, your friend, he was your father's friend. Yedid Mamish, Mamish your friend. Yedid Amiti She'en Kamaisa, a friend, a true friend like no other that you have. So on a Regim Lahakir, so let's go quickly. He often, in his Sfarim Chazes, his point here is to drive the idea very much into us. So he'll say things over a few times. But on our whole lives, we're used to thinking about Hashem as Baruch as this impersonal, distant, all-powerful king. Boyre kol ha'ilamus, the creator of all worlds. We think of him as being holy, and holiness means to us separate and distant and different. That we're totally incapable of understanding, grasping Hashem. It's true. Hashem is beyond, in his essence, of course, he is beyond our understanding. And of course, he is, in a certain respect, he is, of course, distant and far away. But there is another aspect to Hashem and our relationship with Him. There's another way that the Baruch Shalom wants us to see Him, and it's hard. That's why it's not void. We have to work on this our whole lives. It's hard. This surah, this way of the Baruch Shalom being a friend. Mahalach shel yedidusim habayre, a life where you feel this friendship with Hashem. Zeh mahalach shoyne lechalutin. This is a different way of living. It's a different way of thinking of Hashem. Zeh mahalach shel kesher nafshi im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person has an emotional attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you have the moshel, the strongest moshel that we have in Tanakh, for this ahave is the love between a chas and a kala, right? The love between a zorach and a kev and a husband, a wife, a chasen and a kala. So, you know that if somebody comes to you, one of the most common things, those of you that have daughters or have spoken to girls, to guys also, but more to girls, you know that one of the major things that will happen to our girls is that the girl will be going out a few times with a boy, and she already heard many speeches saying that, you know, by the fourth week, it makes no difference. But by the fourth, you know, who, what, where, but by the fourth week at Klal, you have to make up your mind. By the fifth week, if you're already not so religious, by the sixth week, that's only if you're modern Orthodox. Right? You have to make up your mind who you're, if this is the right boy. So they feel a lot of pressure, the kids, right? How do they know? So, you know that the girls all the time are coming and saying, well, he's a very nice boy, the Hashkaf is Givaldic, everything is very, very nice, he says nice things, he's the Charetz, everything is good. But I don't really, you know, I don't really feel. I don't know what I feel or how I'm supposed to feel, right? So there are different things what we try to talk to the kids about and to explain. None of them were quite certain of ourselves, right? But we say these things to try to give some help and some guidance. Because what does it mean, Bechlal? All these things, what does it mean? And a person, like, you know, knows what it means. It's not so partial. But one of the things that traditionally is told to a kid is that, well, you know, after a certain amount of time is going out, do you feel that you miss that person when you're not together? So then you're hoping to hear a very strong and positive yes. So a lot of times they say, no, not really. Not really. So go out a little bit more. Go out a little bit more. And then after the marriage, you say, when you're apart, you miss that person. Then we're very, very hopeful that the answer should be, yes, I miss the person very much, when they're not here. So that's just a mushel of what it means to love their Baruch Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda Levi, when he spoke about davening, when he spoke in Kuzri about the chassid, he was describing the day of the chassid, not the chassid from our chassidim, but a chassid that he was talking about in the Middle Ages meant a tzaddik. And he was describing what's the day like by a tzaddik. And Yehuda Levi was talking, as you know, he was a great poet, and he spoke poetically, he wrote poetically in Kuzri about how the tzaddik is only longing for the next time to daven. He lives the whole day waiting from a shachas to mincha, and in between to say a few words that he should have some time. He feels an unbelievable connection to the point that when he's not davening, or he's not involved in some active avoida, so he misses Hashem. He misses Hashem. That a person can understand that you miss somebody that you love. And the whole mashal, as we spoke about last week, of Shir Shirim, is a mashal of Ahavas Hashem. To feel that I missed, not that davening is a burden, but when's my next opportunity to daven? When's the next chance to daven? That's Ahava. When you have a relationship with somebody, you want to be with the person. You miss talking to the person. Obviously, we can't see Hashem as well. And we'll talk more about this difficulty of not being able to hear directly from him, and how do you have a relationship like that? But this is a feeling that we have a mitzvah from the Torah to try to work on. That's all we could do, is to try to work on. So he says, "Kishem she'adam na'im lo v'nechmad lo l'sheves imreya v'yedida." The same way that it's so wonderful and pleasant to sit with your good friends, to sit with people that you love. It's such a gewaltige feeling to sit with people that you care for. And to schmooze with them. Kein mamish yesh mahalach yizem gansh baruch. There's a mahalach like that. There's a way to be like that with Hashem as well. To feel the pleasantness of His company. Ha'adam ninsa b'chavaros l'shal kadosh baruch. A person lives his life in this friendship with Hashem. Hu ha'reya shalai, it's your friend. Hu ha'yedid shalai. Hu m'seicheach imo b'chal eisa b'chal shor she'yirtze. And you therefore can speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and he's listening to every word, and in a mysterious way he speaks to you as well, which we'll talk about. But you can speak to him every single moment of your life. With a friend, a human friend, sometimes when you're with him, you can talk to him. And when you're not with him, so you can't. But with the Rabbi Shalom, it's kol hazman, it's always. Every minute. This is where he says we have to revolutionize our way of thinking about Hashem. So in the time that we're children, we don't think about Hashem as Baruch the right way, and we have to change our way of thinking. Not just to think of Him as being wondrous and distant, that He lives in Shemayim, in heaven. Like it says in Pasuk, how am I supposed to go up to heaven to find him? And it says in the Pasuk that nobody can see Hashem and live. What's my shaykhus to be a friend with the Baruch Hu? What's my shaykhus to be a friend of HaKadosh Baruch? Did any of you ever see, you'll excuse me for bringing this in, but only B'dach Marshall, but as children, did any of you ever see the Wizard of Oz? You know, I'm not going to report you to your children's yeshiva or anything like that. And you have to worry because they all saw it too. So, you saw the Wizard of Oz. So, you know that the transforming moment of the movie, of the show, was when it turns out that I am Oz is really a little old guy, right? You remember what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's, I mean, it's,
behind the curtain.
It's behind the curtain. That's right, behind the curtain. So you had this, the truth is that the whole story of the Wizard of, I don't know who wrote it, I don't know where it's from, but the whole story is very, very Hasidic, the whole thing, from beginning to end. And it has a lot of, Panemius in it, which I'm sure that the people who wrote it never had such asagas. But the truth is that they're unbelievable in Yonim that are in it. The whole thing, mitchilos avat soifai, is a gewaldige marshal. But what is that point when, and here's where, if you misunderstood it, if you misunderstand that marshal, so then you botched up the whole movie, which is a kleinigkeit. That's okay if you messed up the movie, because they were nice music anyway. But to understand in pnimius, in life, what it means. So there was this all-powerful Oz, right? Again, it's been a long time, but I think this is what it was. There's this all-powerful Oz who was going to bring a Yeshua. Each one, lefi and yana, right? So this one had Nebuchadnezzar with being a coward. This one had an Indian to find her way back home. This one was
brains
need seichel
and a heart.
Okay, this is mamish chabad chagas nehim. All the spheres, everything is going on over there. Each one is trying to find himself, and that which is missing, and that which she knows that she has, and he has, especially the Indian of Dorothy, to get back to her place. to do tshuva, pnimis namuka, that's what it's all about. To return back home. And the beginning, so the whole Yeshua is going to come through this koyach, this oiz, right? This oz, this strength, this powerful God, this wizard, was going to bring each one of Yeshua. So in the end, it turned out to be like a little Zaydi behind the curtain, right? And it was like the whole thing was like not scary. It was just this little guy. And you remember that what he did was, so he was a real nice guy, and he just had like this thing, like to act like he was God or something. But everybody caught on to him. But you remember that he tried to give each one of Yeshua, right? So he gave a medal to the cowardly lion, like that you have gvura. And he taught him how to roar, something, I forget English, but he gave each one a little epic something, and to give Yeshua, and as you know, that be'emes, be'emes, that was the Yeshua, right? Each one had a Yeshua, in his inyan, had the Yeshua not from the distant, frightening, mechanical voice of a cold, sterile, all-powerful being, but the moment that the all-powerful being became a very dear grandfatherly type that gave each person that which he needed, his chaskis, not a magical, mysterious, quick way to get home or to get a heart, to get courage, but it's an inyan of confidence and avoid and pnimius, right? So it turns out that that's how the Yeshua, that's how each of the characters was able to find his Yeshua in such a way. And it had a good ending. Right? Because the emes is that you're home all the time. And all of the demyoinus of being away. And what it means to do tshuva, there's a lot to talk about. It was a very, very fascinating... I don't know who the people that wrote it, but they were getting involved somehow, somewhere. I don't know who, what. But because at that time, I think Hollywood was, to a large extent, was under the hashpa, direct or indirect, of Jews. So the moment that you realize that the Baruch Shalom is your Yedid, he's your friend, and that your Yeshua can come in such a way by having that relationship with him is something that you can be close to, something that you can understand. Not that you have to run away from or be afraid or tremble like they did in the movie every time they heard I am Oz, and they were shaking and they were running and the smoke and the fire. Even though there is, of course, a very beginning of Yer Shemayim. And that's how the Bereshit gave us the Torah. There was fire and so on, and smoke, special effects. It's a pach. And therefore, he talks about that a lot in the next chelik of the seven. I'm going to get to this month, this summer. But what Yer Shemayim means and how to have healthy Yer Shemayim. But the Bereshit never wanted that the Yer Shemayim that a Jew has should, God forbid, take away from him that feeling of the Baruch Hashem being our friend, being a Zayd, being someone that we can love and that we could connect to and speak to at any time, and not to be afraid of. That's a different mahalach than we grew up with. And we have to change our way of thinking. He says, Uma Shaykhis Shaliliyas Yedidim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as Hashem is behind the curtain, right? So what Shaykhis do I have with this powerful creature behind the curtain? I have no Shaykhis. I have no shaykhus to such a God. Zehu toz. This is a mistake. Shtus shei yitzar machtes v'leiv v'nil. It's a narishkeit that comes from the Yetzirah. And you'll see that in the next few pages he talks about how this shtus, this narishkeit, is being promoted in certain religious circles. This shtus. To think that we're not his friend. He says, shtus shei yitzar machtes v'leiv v'nil. She actually has krev makadosh baruch. A shtus. A narishkeit, to think that you can't be close to him. Or that somehow, like I said last week, that you do all the mitzvahs and you'll feel close to him. Which all of us are wondering, when does that happen? We've been doing mitzvahs our whole lives, we don't know when we're supposed to feel close. She actually is Yedidim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this thought of what we were told, or whatever it is, that we can't be friends with Hashem. It's a mamash ahepach shel emes. It's the opposite of the truth. It's the opposite of the way of living of a real Jew. It's not how the Chavetz Chaim lived. It's not how the Chazon Ish lived. It's not how the Chassam Sofer. It's not how the Moshe Feinstein. It's not how they lived. Yehudi Amiti Chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Libay B'Chol HaEisa B'Chol Shah. A true Jew lives with Hashem Yisbarach in him every second of his life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yedid Shlo his friend. Mishazoch Elitoim Ta'am Ma'ash Yedid Zu. Anybody who is zoicha to taste this friendship, Ma'agish Pa'ifen Borom Ha'oid Mi'al L'Kol Sofek. He becomes clear to him. If you taste this, it becomes clear to you beyond any doubt. She'en Yedid Is Kazubar Omit. There is no friendship in the world that can equal this friendship. There is no friendship that can carry you through life, can give you chizik, can give you simcha, can fill your life with meaning, like this Yedidus. And that's why it's so hard for us nowadays before Mashiach comes. Even though, as I spoke about last week and I talk about all the time, even though our generation is learning a lot and we know a lot, but this Yedidus with Hashem, this closeness with Hashem, this simple relationship with Hashem, when it's missing, then all of Yiddishkeit becomes hard. And the nisyonos become overwhelming. Even the smallest nisyonos we can't deal with. Little nisyonos, they run us over, they destroy us. We can't be menatzeach, small yetzaharis. We don't know what to do with them. Halach has become a big yetzaharis, that there are nowadays such crazy things. But when you don't have a yedidus with Hashem, I spoke about this a lot last year, and I talk about it all the time in shul. I talk about it a lot. You know, this whole inyan, the way that it's being presented in certain circles, again, it's said in the right way, I guess, I don't know. That it's as if, and I spoke about this many times here also, it's as if the one thing that's threatening Yiddishkeit is the internet, right? And if we could figure out a way to stop the internet, then everybody will be good Jews. So we didn't have the internet a few years ago, and it wasn't so posh to be a good Jew. The answer is not in this machine or that machine. The internet is talking a big, big problem. And all of these meetings and conventions and convocations and all the themes of all these get-togethers by good intention, people are much smarter and holier than me about what are we going to do to save our children by getting rid of the internet. In economy, it's a huge problem. But that's not... there's only so many plugs you could pull out of the wall. And there's only so many buttons you could press to try to erase. The kids, you know, they can go to the library, they go anywhere they want, and if it's not them, they want it, they go to a friend. If not a friend, in Yerushalayim, there are places that are filled with frum kids, that they have these bars, you know, where they go to, internet bars. The filled Yerushalayim with frum kids. Filled. There's a gerach, there were two gerach chassidim that decided, they went around taking pictures in all these places of the kids who were sitting there, and they said that they're going to post the pictures on the walls and send them to America to post all these pictures of who we think we're sending to Eretz Yisrael, to the yeshivas, and what's going on over there with these internet bars. You can't stop it by running after the machines and by screaming at everybody that they're showing them. If they have the internet, they're showing. What are you going to do? Then the same people tell the Rishayim, their schools are giving them assignments that they have to have an internet. They don't even know what to do. So what's the teretz? It's a problem, and they have to figure out what to do with as much. But the teretz is, if the Rebbeinu Shlom is not your friend, and if you don't have a relationship with him, then you can't compete with the internet. What's the shaila? If you don't have a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlom, and he's some mysterious I am Oz, then it's much. The computer is much more user friendly than the Rebbeinu Shlom, and if a person doesn't have a relationship, a kesher with the Rebbeinu Shlom, so then you're screaming at him, don't do this, Avera, this is Yetzer, you can't do this, and we're going to stop you from doing it. How are you going to stop me? I'm going to make a new kind of a block on the computer that you can't do it. Or we're going to tell your father that if he has it in his house, he's a Rasha. Or you tell your mother that if she uses it for work, she's a Rashanta, and you can't go to work at any place where they have it. It's not going to do it. It's not working. That doesn't work. The only thing that works is if a person loves the Rebbeinu Shlom, he doesn't want to look at those things. It's very hard. But we have to teach something different about Hashem. If a person has a kesher with Hashem, the same way that a person is deeply, deeply in love with his wife, so he doesn't go looking at anybody else. But if somebody is not sure of his wife, and he doesn't have a kesher with his wife, then every single person who walks on the street is a taiva, is a yetzahara. So what are you going to do? So they do in certain civilizations. So that's what they do. So by the Muslims, so by the Yishma'ilim, Yimakshimam, so by them, what do they do? So they badek every single woman, and they cover her up, and if she shows her face, then they'll kill her, and they'll kill the whole family. Right? They have to go with the bedecking the whole time. Because this is going to save the men. And you know that Davka in that society is the biggest hashchasa, the biggest menafim, the biggest adulterers, the lowest mushchasim are in those places where the women are public enemy number one. So the terrorist to all of the problems that men have is to cover the women up. That's the terrorist. It's not the terrorist. She has her own achrayis. Every woman has her own achrayis to go the right way. That's something else. I'm not talking about that. That's her achrayis. That's klapei Shmaya, what the Baruch Shalom wants from her. That's her inyan with the Baruch Shalom. What she should do to be mature and serious about that. That's something else. But as far as the guys, what are they going to do? So the guys are listening to a thousand shmuzin about how the women are pulling them away from the derech of Hashem. They're pulling them away from the derech of Hashem. If you don't have a derech Hashem, it doesn't take much to pull a guy off the derech Hashem these days. It doesn't take much. A nice little girl in a nice little outfit, you just have to wave on a little string for 10 seconds and he's finished. Because he doesn't have a relationship with the Baruch Shalom. He doesn't love the Baruch Shalom. And if you're not in love with the Baruch Shalom, then anything else that comes your way, you're interested, you flirt with a little bit, and then you flirt a little bit, and you talk a little bit more, and Chalila, no. That's how it is in the world. It's not a mystery. So, that somehow, in a simple way, that our ancestors had more of his kashus, even though they didn't know so much, but they had a feeling of a relationship with the Baruch Shalom, and you feel the Baruch Shalom is with you, and he's here, and he cares, and he loves you, and he's watching you, and he's whispering in your ear, like Yosef HaTzadik saw his father in the window, the Baruch Shalom is whispering, he says, that's not nice, this is where you're taking me to such a place. I don't belong in a place. Why are you bringing me over into this place? Why are you taking me to do such a thing? But there's no feeling of yedidus, of his kashus. I was talking about that on Shabbos, and if they don't have a shaykhus to the Baruch Shalom, so then what do you want of these kids? We would be doing the same thing if we were in their matzav. And they know that. So what do we want from them? Unless they're being taught, and they're being raised with the Baruch Shalom as a yedidus, as a friend, as someone that's with you and that cares about you, and he loves you, and he's thinking about you, and he's worrying about you. So you see that our children, even though they might sometimes, we don't know all the things that our children do, they should all go in the right way. But there are a lot of things that the kids do that they don't want us to know about. We hope that they make it through somehow, and we don't find out. Some things we find out, some things we don't find out. Halavai, they should all be good Jewish children, they don't do anything wrong. But there are things that are going on. But they don't want their mommy and daddy to find out. For different reasons. A, if they have very strong, they don't want to get in trouble, okay? They don't want to get in trouble. But also, on another level, they don't want to disappoint their parents. They don't want their parents to find out, because they don't want their parents to be disappointed. They don't want the Rebbe to find out. The Rebbe will be disappointed. They don't want the Rebbe to find out. So, if that's a Rebbe, that's a parent, then Re'acha, V'Re'a, Avicha, then if the Baruch Shalom is someone that you love and that you respect, then you're not going to want to turn on the internet. I mean, except if you have to, whatever, for a report. You're not going to want to look at something bad. You're not going to want. How does a woman feel in these things? Unfortunately, Ma'isim B'chol Yoyim, that I had a phone call from Eretz Yisrael recently, that there's a guy that's living in Kerala for the last 5-6 years, that the wife called me up to say that she found that he's sitting, she thought he's sitting up all night in this study, learning. She found out that for the last 2-3 years, he sits for 3 hours a night looking at pornography. This is what her father's paying for. 3 hours, 4 hours a night. He comes to the room 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and she's so proud that she has this, you know, this Talmud Chacham. So she called me, and she says, I can't look at him, and it makes me sick. And how could it be? I don't want to ever talk to him. And the whole thing. So I had to talk, and I'm talking to him. But, you know what it means, by the he loves you. And she, but the main thing is that. She feels the hypocrisy bothers her. I try to explain, it doesn't mean he's a hypocrite. That's love dafki, that's not hypocrisy. Chataiva doesn't mean you're a hypocrite, it means you're about taiva. So why is he also from? Because he loves being from. So why does he do that? He's a taiva. But that's not the point that is most hurtful to a woman. You know what the point that's most hurtful to a girl like this? If my husband loves me and he's attracted to me, then how could he do such a thing to go look at these again? How could he do such a thing? That's so painful. That she can't fagin. The other thing, she could hear a shmuz from some rabbi about men and their taivis. No. She could try to hear it. But how do you explain that my husband has crazy things to look at pictures of ladies? But to talk on phones, things like this. Hashem Yirachem. What goes on nowadays? Hashem Yirachem. How could he want such a thing? So she understands. It means he doesn't love me. That's harder to for up. That's harder to explain. It is explainable. It is, but it's hard to explain. Because there's an akuda in it that you can't answer. If he would be fully happy and in love and satisfied and v'chulu v'chulu, so what taki is he going looking? What does he have a shaykhist? So this is what I find to be so frustrating. The attitude that we have by many of our firm brothers and sisters is, let's destroy all the bad pictures. But you can't. They're producing more than we can destroy. So the terrorist to me, I think, is how do we work on the relationships to be better relationships? So you all want to look at those things. Because you're going to end up meeting them someplace. And I'm talking about the relationship that you have with the Baruch Shalom. If a Bocha has his kashrus of Hashem, and he has a sipak nefesh in learning and in davening and his mitzvahs and his excitement of being a Jew, and let's say he's not so good in learning, but he has a sipak nefesh in chesed, mais, and taiva, whatever, and davening, but he has a relationship with the Baruch Hashem, so then he looks at those things as a taiva, but it's not for me. I have, Baruch Hashem, something in my life that's more important to me, and I'm not going to jeopardize the most precious thing in my life for what? For a taiva? It's the same thing in a marriage. So instead, people are chasing after all the magazines and all the buttons and all the machines, and this is the problem for Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry, that's not true. That's not Klal Yisrael's problem. Klal Yisrael's problem is that we don't have a shaychus to Ribbono Shel'Olam. And when we have a shaychus to Ribbono Shel'Olam, we can handle these things. If we don't have a shaychus, then you can't handle. There'll always be a Yetzirah. Even before there was the internet, there was channel 2, 4, 5, 7. And then everybody said, what's it? When we heard Shmuzim from our rebate, oy, very, 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 you can't have a television. So now they're saying, television is a halbitzer. There's cable television. And there's internet. And when I was hearing from my Rebbe, is that the biggest enemy of our life was the television, right? So now, if the kid says, we have a television, but we don't have any internet, only, then already the Rebbe says, oh, thank God, at least kulei hai. Maybe there's a chance that it'll be a Jew. It's not a question of what machine you have. Although you're not supposed to have the wrong machines, you're supposed to do the right thing. All that's true. But it's not the answer, and it's frustrating to me. I don't know if you feel this, or maybe I'm saying something that's crazy to you. But I feel a frustration that instead of getting to the point of really what's missing and saying the truth, that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the yeshiva. Not everybody, but there's a lot missing. And there's a lot missing in what they're hearing, what they're learning, and the people that they're seeing, and us as parents, how we have to also be, and talk, and that they should see in our lives that we love the Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom is important to us, and we talk about the Baruch Shalom like our grandmothers did and grandfathers. So then they don't have a shaychus. So then all we do is spend our time worrying about what machine they're looking at. Once you're playing cat and mouse, any woman has to go check up on the phone to see who her husband's talking to, God forbid, or check the internet records or the telephone records. It's och and vey. There are women that have to look every single phone to see who their husband's calling. Is that a life? Did any firm woman ever think she'd have to live that way? That she has to check up phone calls or check to see, get someone who knows how to work the internet, to go look into the internet to see what was yesterday when my husband looked at? Is that a rate? That's called cat and mouse. That's not a relationship. To live with a person like that, cat and mouse. So there has to be a yedidus, a closeness and a friendship. A feeling of respect for the Baruch. When there's a relationship, that's what it means to be a yid. And there's nothing that's more pleasant. That's what he's saying over there. That he should feel me'al kol sofik she'ini didus kezubaylam ein ne'monis kezubaylam. There's no ne'monis. There's no one that's as trustworthy as the Baruch Shalom, as trusted a friend. And that he trusts you. What does it mean in the pasuk every Friday night? We say, batach bolev baile. So in the Eishes Chal, right? It means that the husband, batach bolev baile. It means that your husband in his heart trusts the wife. Everybody knows that Eishes Chal is talking about the Shechina and the Jewish people. It's talking about, I don't want to spoil anybody's dreams of what Eishes Chal is about. So you think it's about the husband and wife. It's only emotional for Hashem and Christ. And Christ, of course, it's also talking about husband and wife. But that's not the Pshat. The Pshat in Eishes Chal is talking about Hashem and the Jewish people. So can you imagine the Baruch Shalom says such a pasuk? Botach bo leiv baile. The Baruch Shalom's the husband, right? And he said, the Baruch Shalom says, in my heart, I trust you.
Is there anything that's more beautiful than the Baruch Shalom trusts us? Botach bo leiv baila. The Baruch Shalom says, I trust you. I don't have to check up on your phone records. I trust you. Botach bo leiv baila. That's such an unbelievable thing to know, that the Baruch Shalom trusts us. He trusts us with his heart. Kivyocha. Botach bo leiv baila. That's what it means. And the Rosh Hashem says, "Oh, call you mechaya. Oh, my Kala, the Rosh Hashem is so good to me. She's only doing for me. Call you mechaya." The Rosh Hashem says, "What my Kala, the Rosh Hashem says, my Kala, what she does for me, my Kala." And what do we say when the Kala Gatshuva goes on the side, Chas Shalom, and is flirting or doing something else? Hashem Yirachem. So Botach Barleiv Baila. There's nothing. There's no greater trust. In Amon's Kazubaylan. There's nothing that's more pleasant in the whole world than being in the company of Hashem. Not to be afraid, but to be in the company of Hashem is Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu atzavta amiti shel Adam is the truest friend. HaChavra amiti shel Adam. HaRei amiti shel Adam is the true friend. Alright, but here there's a big Yetzirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu baris Yetzirah b'shvil anasin says Adam. The Yetzirah is always coming to shter. So the Yetzirah comes always, davka, the strongest Yetzirah is in that inning of your life that's most important, is the strongest Yetzirah. So the Baruch Hu created Yetzirah that we should have free choice, that we should be able to earn that relationship with him, and that to earn the schar, the reward in the next world. Therefore, the Yetzer comes, and the Yetzer has all kinds of thoughts, puts all kinds of thoughts into our head that have no shachar, which means have no truth at all. Ain lam shachar. To tell the Marishkeit. The Yetzer can say the night is day and the day is night. This is where the Yetzer comes. The Yetzer comes and tells you, a religious person. We're not talking about that. The safe is not for people who don't know how to learn. So Yetzer comes and tells a religious person, what are you thinking? That you're going to be close to Hashem? Leah is chavis. What are you going to be a friend of Hashem? Leah is yedid. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you hear this? Say Yetzer Hara. You're going to be a yedid with Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu zen noira. The Baruch Hu is frightening. It's a chutzpah for you to even think that. You, especially you with all of your, you know what, all your values and all your this and that, you're gonna be a chaver. V'oid chaver, you did. Chasu shomeloyim because they're dabber. The Yetzer speaks in Lashon HaKodesh. The Yetzer speaks in Yiddish. The Yetzer speaks, uses Chazals. You know that. The Yetzer says of you, Chasu shalom. Chasu shalom. I said in shul that there was one of the boys from one of the boys in a certain community that was learning this sefer, Rav Avi Mishkan Avner, and it was his mazel that the Rebbe from the Vismedrish caught him with the sefer. Now, it was written by a big tzaddik, and the big tzaddikim that gave the Haskamas. So the Rebbe looked at a sentence that spoke about Hashem with a friend, and the Rebbe took the sefer. This is what the Bacha told me. He took the sefer, and the Rebbe closed it, and he said, "That's not our Messiah. This is not for us. Who gave you this? Not for us." He threw it on the table like that. Finished. He read two sentences. So here you have a person with a nice beard that came as a Yetzer and told this young man, who for the first time in his life, what he was telling him was he was beginning to feel better about being a Jew, and told him that this is against Yiddishkeit. This is not the Messiah that we have. The Messiah that we have. That's always a code word for something that I'm familiar with. Right? It's not the Messiah that we have. What's the Messiah? Who's Messiah? What Messiah? Who are you? What? But it's not the Messiah that we have to be a friend with the Baruch Shalom. What? Chas v'sholom eloi medorah kazeh. Chas v'sholom. Right? Kolmenei tainus v'tainus shainus. Another tainus. Sach HaKol writes in Dover Echad. One thing the Eitz Sahara wants. That this Yid should not be close to Hashem. that what? That the Yid should not be a friend of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Because that's the key to his Yeshua. Not I am Oz, but the friend who's the Rebbeinu Shlom is the key to your Yeshua. You don't want to disappoint a dear friend. You don't want to hurt a dear friend. You don't want to be unfaithful when your dear friend trusts you. That's the key to your Yeshua. Shayuhudi la ye yidid shakadosh baruch hu zukol matarasa. The whole goal and objective of the Yetzirah is that you shouldn't be the Rebbeinu Shlom's friend. That's why it's such a strong Yetzirah. Mim shemechapis emes. Whoever is truly looking, searching for the truth, who einenu mispata l'tainas shav elu shel Yetzirah, does not allow himself to be seduced by these phony, false tainas of the Yetzirah, no matter where they're coming from. Who mispalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyor lo es emes, and elech yedav and Rebbeinu Shalom, show me the truth. Uboichel kach, and he cries to Hashem. Rabbis, he cries a lot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yor lo es emes, Rebbeinu Shalom, show me the truth. This is the true way of avodas Hashem. Ha'im efshe liyos chaver v'yidich HaKadosh Baruch Hu nafshis, Rebbeinu Shalom, you show me. Is it possible for me to be a friend of yours? Do you want that from me? Or is it possible that all of these chazals, Re'acha, Re'avicha, all of these chazals, and there are many, many, many more, that all of these chazals are rak misholim bilvad chashom? It's just like, these are just misholim, just a moshul? It's just a nice idea? It's the concept of being close to Hashem? That's all? The concept? And that it's impossible to actually feel it inside one's soul. But it's not really an emotion. Is that true? It's all like a game? All these things that you said are not true? Therefore he davens and he cries out to Hashem to show him the truth. And then, if you want, not to this little person who told it to you, he might know how to learn a little bit, but he's a little person that told it to you in yeshiva, or some friend of yours, but go to the true tzaddikim, the Avde Hashem, go to the big tzaddikim of the generation. Is it possible for me to have a shaykhus in my heart to the Baruch Hu? Can I have a friendship, a relationship with the Baruch Hu? Go ask the big tzaddikim. I am actually as Yedid Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is it possible to be a friend of the Rebbeinu Shlom? I am actually as Chaver Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is it possible to be a Chaver with Hashem? Elohim Agoshes Mitzius Yais Achas Hashem Demyonis. So someone will say to you, you think that you're a friend of Hashem, it's a Demyonis. It's done your imagination, it's a delusion. You're not Hashem's friend. You can't have such. There's no such thing. You're not a tzaddik. You're not a great person. Maybe the big people. Not a person like you. There's no such thing. But it says to everybody, it's not you. It's demyonis. You don't feel anything. So it's all demyonis. Zutzuras hachaim shel yehudi. Is this reversal? Is this the way that you want the Jew to live like, to be like? Or is there something that some guy in a sefer made up some new ideas in a sefer? To put out to sell books, is that what it is? To sell books? It's not real Yiddishkeit? If a person davens to Hashem, and he asks Hashem, show me be'emes, the true way to serve you. And he cries, the Bershom will provide you with an Oved Hashem, somebody else in your life who's a real Oved Hashem, who's going to encourage you and tell you this is exactly the key to being a Jew. An Oved Hashem. Which somebody was just telling me recently that in yeshiva circles, if a bachur in yeshiva is known as an oived, that's like a lo yitzvah. An oived means he's very firm. He's a yirei shemayim. He's an oived. It means he's not so sharp like the top guys. He's not sharp. In other words, if you could slug up the Rebbe, then you're a great Jew. If you could show that the Rebbe, you're smarter than the Rebbe. Or you're smarter than bachur in the shia. But what happens if you have a guy that's not so sharp, but he's an oived? An oived is already like... And Oibid is already, they have among the Chevra, they already call, they have a word for these people, the Chevra that became Frumer a little bit later, they call them Harrys. You heard this word? You got around already that word? Yeah. So we have Baruch Hashem in our neighborhood, a lot of them. And I aspire that I should be like them, and that my children should be Jews like these so-called Oivdim, like that they look down and like they're Oivdim. He doesn't know how to learn. He's not so sharp because his tachlis in life is not to show that he's smarter than the bacher that's sitting next to him. His tachlis in life is to be an Eved Hashem, even though he could be 10 times smarter than the guy that's showing off, the Harry. So I'm very familiar with those Oivdim. They're the dearest friends of the Baruch Hashem in the world. These Yidden, Bali Tshuva, and these ones that are bringing themselves that wasn't thrown to them, and they make themselves into Jews. What kind of Oivde Hashem? But already it's like a second class citizen. And it's not for people like us. It's not for people like us. No. And think of the questions that we ask. The questions that we ask when you're looking for Shidduch for your daughter. The questions about what kind of a boy it is. And what's important about the boy? What's important about the boy? We were just having a talk about this the other day, and I'm asking, like, where did this come from? Like, how do these girls fall in? Like, I look at somebody, these girls, and I don't know the girls. The girls are gewaldige girls, and it seems to me that I'm sure they're wonderful boys, but like, the girls are very frum. I think the girls are very frum. But I see that the guys come to daven for 10 minutes and they leave. How do the girls fall in like that? So my daughters were saying, "What do you mean? That's the girls know that." I said, "The girls didn't know. They would never marry somebody that davens for 10 minutes in the morning. How could they daven someone that comes 9:30 and leaves at the 9:45? How would a girl marry somebody like that?" So the girls look at me like I'm crazy, because I'm also a Harry. You understand? In a certain way, you know, my payas grew later in life. I didn't come into the world with payas, you know. So daddy, you know, this is. He's nice, he's cute, he's good, he's not, you know. I said, no, guys maybe have problems, the girls don't, I like that. So my daughter said, yeah, you think everybody's like us? That we want the guy that's like, you know, not all the girls want that. The girls are very happy, they don't need like it. They call now a boy that's an Eved Hashem intense. You heard the word ever, intense? Intense. It's also a code word. It means serious. It means when he goes on a trip, he expects to daven in a minyan someplace. Serious. It means that when he goes for the summer, he'll sit a couple of hours in the Beis Medrash also, in the bungalow. He'll come sit in the Beis Medrash, like I have the nachas to see the boys that are sitting here. Beautiful boys that they come and sit to learn when they're on vacation. So a lot of the girls, my daughters are saying, they don't know what, the girls don't all want that. That's, you know, that's heavy duty. So is that the territory? You get what you're looking for? I don't know if that's better or worse. I guess maybe it's better, because at least you don't feel like you were tricked. Right? But what are you looking for in a boy? An Oved Hashem. When I say Oved Hashem, please don't make a mistake. I'm not talking about a color shirt. A white shirt, dark shirt. I'm not talking about a hat or a yarmulke. I'm talking about an Oved Hashem. An Oved Hashem. An elche, sincere, serious person. Davening means davening. And he learns the way he can learn. And he knows where to put his eyes. And he's not playing these games with the televisions and the internet. An erlicha boy with business, with everything. If you want that, then you'll find a boy like that in Mitzvah Shem. It's not so poshut, I know it's not so poshut. But you'll find a boy like that. But if that's too heavy for you, and you want the guy that even though Shabbos he looks very yeshivish, but during the week, not so yeshivish. I don't mean his clothing. I mean his way of living is not so yeshivish. You know, the Sunday morning, 9:45 till 10 o'clock davening. So that girl knew what she was getting into. Is that the teretz? I don't know. It's not clear to me. Is that the teretz? Or is it a disappointment? Or the girl's crying. I don't know which is better or which is worse. And I'm not saying God forbid the boys, as I said, they're beautiful, beautiful boys everywhere. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about everywhere we go. This is what's going on. But already in the yeshivas, the Harrys are like, you know, the Oivdim are like second-class citizens. Those aren't the Chosheva ones. The Chosheva ones are the ones, there was something that was suggested for our daughter recently, and we asked my son, because he was in the same yeshiva, and my son said, he learns a lot, but But at night he parties also a lot. So, like, we're very confused. We say, what does that mean? He learns all day and he's into it, but then at night he drinks and does other stuff. What does that mean? Is that a steer or not? Who's the better boy in yeshiva? Who's the one that's most respected in the yeshiva? Then you could have a tminus dikas sweetheart of a boy that might not be so able to sit all three storm, and he might not be the sharpest one in yeshiva, but you would never ever catch him anywhere, God forbid, at a bar or a party or drinking or carrying on. But he's an elach a boy and he's sitting saying a capital to him at night. No? Who's the chash of a boy? They're both chash, the Jewish boys, but the chashivas of a Jew. And do we have our heads on straight? When you're asking about a boy, what are you looking for? And what are you looking for in the family? What are you looking for in the boy? The Ehrlichkeit, the Ernstkeit. Do you ask whether he's a minion every morning on time? Do you ask the Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, what are you looking for? Is it to be an Oved Hashem? That's the tachlis of a person being in this world. It's to be Dovak Takadish Baruch. Because the truth is, the sharpness or the not sharpness, to the girl there's not much of a nafkim in it. Usually the ones with the sharper mouths are also sharper with their wives too. It's not such a big nafkim in it, the sharpness. They're not talking over with their wives, the taisis, you know what I'm saying. But the tmimis, the sweetness, if he's sharp also, gesundheit. As long as he leaves the sharpness in the Gemara. The sweetness, kindness, gentleness, open-heartedness, generous, v'chul, those midas. It's the ikkah that to look for. Those are the ones that many of you I know, the husbands that mention me are blessed with such wonderful husbands, that they're like that. An Ehrlichkeit and sincerity and good people, good Jews, knows how to learn, that's it. That's a big mile to know how to learn. It's a very chashuv thing. It's a very chashuv thing. But the ikkah is that to understand what's the tzura of a Jew. What is the ideal picture of a Jew? What is a Jew supposed to look like? That our children should want to marry a Yid. The girl should want to marry a Yidin. Be'amis Yidin. Not somebody that's going to be look cute in his white khaki pants on a Sunday afternoon when he's not on the avenue in Brooklyn. But an Ehrliche Ernst, a real serious Jew. It's a question of what they're learning. And you have to daven. Your mother, Mispal Gishbroth, that the Bereshim should send you such a Yid, a friend. I will finish in a minute. That's an Oyver Hashem, someone that we all know that it's so important for our children to have good friends. There's nothing that's more important than they should have good friends. That our children should meet the right people. I'm thankful to the Bereshim all the time because my children grew up seeing in the shul such amazing people that they changed their lives, they turned their lives around. They're inspiring people. Inspiring people. We say to them all the time, you don't see people like this. Not stam. It's an inspiration to see people like this. To see such avodas Hashem. And to see people that are changing their lives around. Such sincere people. To be in the company of Avodas Hashem. It's the biggest brach in the world. And he says, Hashem, you have to daven that Hashem should give you such friends. And our children such friends. Sharon, Yagla, Shain, Nilsa, the Pshita, Yaisim, Zet Surah, Sachaim, Shakal, Gdele, Tzadikim, Meshach, Kol, Hadairis. This is the way Tzadikim. This is what we loved about Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is what we loved about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe was the greatest Lamdan on earth, but he was the sweetest, kindest, most sincere Jew on earth. So I don't understand, that's what that everybody speaks about, Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe. So why don't you act like Rav Moshe in front of the boys in yeshiva? If everybody says Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe, look who Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wasn't just a learning machine. Rav Moshe was the kindest person. The Bava Rebbe, you don't think he was the kindest, sweetest Jew on earth? He wasn't like some distant, austere Rebbe. Well, like somebody told one of the fathers that from over here that he said to the father that the sheet in our yeshiva is not to be warm. If you want warmth, go to a different yeshiva. Could you imagine what Moshe says? My sheet is not to be warm. What does that mean? Did they ever write a book about somebody whose sheet was not to be warm? Is there a sheet in Yiddishkeit not to be warm? I'd like to know that. Is there a sheet in you? You want to say that there are certain gedolim that their natural personality was not warm? First of all, 99% of the time when you get to know them, they were very warm. They were sometimes shy. People are shy. But to have some 30-year-old Rebbe telling your father, so the father says, can't you maybe you give him a little bit of a encouragement, maybe say a nice word, maybe put your arm around him. If you want that, go to a different yeshiva. This is not for us. That's what he told a father. How does that Rebbe expect to be written up one day in a biography from art school? No? What do you mean? It's not our shita? Warmth is a shita? Did you ever hear in your life such a thing? Warmth or not warmth is to love a Jew and to show a child that you care for him? Is there such a thing by Shimon Shkop, by the Chavetz Chaim, by a Baruch Ber? I'm not talking about Hasidim. Yeah, Hasidim, Hasidim. I'm talking about the little fisher of Hashim. Is there such a thing? So you want to say that there were people that were like, there were more. So, okay, I had a Rebbe like that once. You know, you heard of Reb Soloveitchik, Reb Yosef Soloveitchik. He wasn't like the type to put his arm around you either, you know, if you know about him. But there was an unbelievable warmth. If you read any of his things, you see, he said about himself that it was painful for him to show a certain thing. He came from that family. What is it? There's a certain thing in that family. The Zayda wasn't like the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was the warmest Jew in the world. Reb Yeshabel was also warm. But they were reserved in how they... But he said, he used to speak sometimes about his wife and about we were like, you know, we would turn red. The caring and the love. There's a certain thing by some Jews that are like that. Well, the Chassidim are a little fisher, but there's a certain thing. But that's not a shita to be cold. But you want to learn, you come here. You want warmth? Go to some other yeshiva. Which the father said, do you have any? Is there any yeshiva you know like that? But you want warmth? Shraga Fiverr Mendelovich produced great Jews in Tervadas. And he was a fiery Jew. He would cry with the boys and sing with them. They had the lights out, and Shraga Fiverr was singing with them. Ask anybody from the old Tervadas. And the fire of those Jews in the old Tarvadas burns all the years. All those Jews that went to that Tarvadas from Shraga Fiverr Mendelovich, most of them are business people, but they're fiery Yidden. They're unbelievable Jews. It's a shita not to do that. And he's going to explain, we're going to continue, we're going to learn next week, how he shows that this has nothing to do with whether or not you're a litzvak or you're a chassid. This is the bare bones minimum of being a Jew that observes Torah mitzvahs, and he'll explain how do we develop this kind of a kesha. We'll continue mitzvah next week.